Hello, very good Saturday morning. You're very welcome along to the weekend edition here on Highland Radio with me, Greg Hughes. Coming up on the programme, we've got some tips on how you can save money and save creating extra waste this Christmas. Did you know 8 out of 10 young women would consider a cosmetic beauty procedure? Well, there's a lot of pressure to look your best over the Christmas period. We'll look at that study. Name Your Poison is a fascinating new documentary about a little-known but very interesting Donegal man. The man they couldn't kill is how he's described. The programme's director joins us on the show. Have you not had your office party yet? Well, we have tips on the do's and don'ts so you don't become that water cooler moment on Monday. And we're talking tipping in restaurants. Our live music this morning is from Pete Rose. All this, loads more besides. Call 07491 25000, text 086 77 00 555, or if you want to tweet me, it's at Greg Hughes 2. Okay, so hopefully you'll be able to stay with us between now and 12, because we're leading into the P.O. McCann Show. He's live out and about today up in Buncrana. We'll give you more details of that as the morning wears on. We also have live music, as I mentioned. That's coming up between 11 and 12, so hopefully you'll be able to stay with us. You can also check out us our Facebook page as well, by the way. You just search Weekend Edition on Facebook and you'll get our page there, and you'll be able to like and get information about the show there. Right, a quick look at the newspapers. If you're buying your papers today, these are the news stories that will greet you. The Irish Times, the weekend version of it. Historic climate change deal expected. I think that deal was reached last night. The world's on the brink of a major breakthrough on climate change, with an historic agreement expected in Paris today that will limit global temperatures increases to well below 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. Dishonest motorists escaping justice, says a judge. A series of legal loopholes crying out to be closed had created a district court system in which honest people were punished, while those who acted dishonestly usually escape, one of Ireland's longest serving judges has said. And of course, the Donegal they're not Donegal based, but the chair, of course, Susan Gray of Park, is based in Donegal. It's a national group. They've been talking about these loopholes for years, but now we have a judge pointing it out as well. Irish Daily Mail: freed Garda killer plans to sue state for damages. A Garda killer released from prison 10 years early is set to sue the state for refusing to let him out sooner. Michael McHugh walked free from Port Leisha prison on Tuesday of last week, having served 30 years of a 40-year term for the murder of Sergeant PJ Morrissey, a father of four in 85. His accomplice in the chilling attack, Noel Callan, was also released last week following a landmark 2013 Supreme Court decision allowing 25% remission, even in cases of capital murder. On to the red tops now. The Irish Daily Mirror: woman judge battered in court. This is the judge, and she's pictured in the paper, who was taken to hospital after being viciously attacked in court yesterday. District Judge Miriam Walsh was relentlessly punched in the face by a 31-year-old man who disagreed with her ruling. She suffered serious lacerations in the attack at the family courts at Dolphin House in Temple Bar in Dublin. Security sources told the Irish Mirror the judge was trying to defend herself from him, but he was repeatedly hitting her in the face. That is the front of the Irish Daily Star. Also, judge kicked in court, justice taken to hospital after her attack. You can read more inside there. And also the Irish Sun: Cowell gang rob Rita. Rita Ora has been hit by a terrifying nighttime burglary, which police fear was carried out by the same gang who raided Simon Cowell's mansion. If you're interested in that there. Obviously, loads in the papers as it relates to sport. Lots of people now into the UFC or on the UFC bandwagon. Thanks to Mr. McGregor and his exploits. That's tonight as well, isn't it? On 3E, I believe, and other pay stations as well. So a lot of people excited about that, and half the country over there to watch it, it seems. Okay, anything you want to comment on there? Any calls, comments, requests? Get them into us now. 086 77 00 555. That's the text number. 086 77 00 555, or you can call us on 074 91 25000. We're going to be talking about how you can save money and save waste after this quick break. Stay tuned. And you're very welcome back to the programme. Did you know singing in a choir can help Alzheimer's patients? The doctor, Shrina Undkat, was an author of research on this issue, and I'm delighted to say she joins us on the programme now. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for taking the call. Now, tell us about this study you were involved in, Doctor.
Okay, so I carried out a study with Canterbury Christchurch University, and we interviewed people all over the country, couples really, who sang together, where one person had a diagnosis of dementia. They took part in all sorts of different groups, so there were choirs, there were Singing for the Brain Alzheimer's groups, there was an even group which composed an opera and performed it after 12 weeks.
Do we know why it's beneficial?
So I guess there are lots and lots of reasons. People who suffer from dementia quite often lose the ability to speak. They lose the ability to recognise their partners, which can be very, very distressing for couples. But actually what we do know is that musical abilities are very often retained because they use different parts of the brain. And so one of the reasons it's beneficial is because couples can go along together, and very often the person with dementia is actually better at the singing than their partner is. And for once, they can take the lead, which for the couple just rebalances kind of couple identity and changes the roles up a little bit. And just the sheer joy, I think, of singing for people, they really strongly reported that it was an incredibly joyful activity. Those sort of things are in very short supply, I think, when you have a diagnosis of dementia.
And it gives you a break from the caring role for a time too.
Yes, absolutely. And so for the carer, there's a release, a bit of liberation. And for the person with dementia, there's an identity outside of their diagnosis. They're seen as a singer, not as a patient.
Yeah, and there's an equalisation there again.
Mm-hmm, there is indeed. And I think one of the more interesting findings as well was that people reported this benefit much more strongly when they were taking part in a new experience, whether that was performing together or learning parts, as opposed to just singing songs that they used to know. So if we think about how elderly services are structured, quite often they're structured on reminiscence and looking back, when actually maybe there's an opportunity for us to think about what can we do with elderly people in terms of looking forward and trying something new.
Yeah, so the benefits are more psychological than anything, are they?
Yeah, and I think there are quite a few psychological benefits, although there was one study, a really good study from Finland, which showed that actually for some people it increased their cognitive ability, their memory, their ability to attend, even up to 6 months after they finished singing together. So there is some very tentative research coming out which says that actually maybe it's beneficial for people in a cognitive way too, but there more research needs to be done on this, I think.
Yeah, and there's a lot could be learned maybe in terms of therapy from this. Is there, like, I mean, obviously it might not suit everybody to go with choral singing, but you could apply it maybe in a different way that's, you know, more practical for other couples.
I think so. I think the thing about singing is that it might not suit everyone. Everyone might not enjoy it, but it's something that everyone can access. You might not be able to sing well, but everybody can make sounds. And I think there is something there about whether or not we can think about ways to balance that couple identity in other therapies and think about how can we look at people with dementia as people as opposed to just people with dementia, and that will help the couple together.
Okay, it's really interesting. Thank you so much for that, Doctor.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for taking the call. That's Dr. Shrina Undkat from the Solomon Centre for Applied Psychology at Canterbury Christchurch University. So lots of benefits being seen from couples going singing together. And it's been described as breathing oxygen back into the relationship, which is really nice, isn't it? Right, I mentioned Wee Glee. They're a community singing group, and they are all from over... I'll start that again. They are from all over Inishowen, Moff, Bunkrana, Urs and beyond. They are 5 to 12 years of age, and they've recorded a song. It's not for anything. It's not to be sold. It's to be shared, and I want to share it with you. So here is Wee Glee.
Thank you.
Isn't that lovely? Bernie Doherty sent that in to us. Bernie, thank you so much. She runs Weegly, and that was a group of 5 to 12-year-olds, can you believe? Such brilliant harmonies there as well. And they're from Inishowen, Muff, Buncrana and Urse. I really enjoyed that. I hope you did too. I have another song from theirs, which we'll play maybe a little later today or next week. 086 77 00 555 is the text line. Apparently, is it Daniel O'Donnell's birthday today? We've had a text in from Cavan. Wishing Daniel O'Donnell a happy birthday, and they also want to wish Daniel and Magella happy Christmas and happy New Year. That comes in from Leona in Cavan. Thank you so much for getting in contact with us. Yvonne's taking your calls, as always, 074 91 25000. You can search us out on Facebook. The Weekend Edition Facebook page is there for you as well, where we have information on what we're talking about and contact details and so on and so forth, if you want to stay in touch with us. I just want to mention one more time, because a lot of effort goes into these events, that Santa is in Chocjon Mikiban outside Carrigart today. It's this afternoon from 2 to 4pm. So if you're feeling in the Christmas spirit, you can go along there, because Santa's going to be there, as I mentioned, and he's bringing presents for all the children. And there's going to be refreshments, Kjolagas crack with the Duffy sisters, and a Christmas hamper raffle. So if you can get along to that, do. And I also just want to give you a reminder that P.O. McCann Show today is live from Buncrana Credit Union on Cockhill Road. It's a very special day, as one very lucky member of the credit union will drive away in a fabulous Toyota Yaris. And if you think perhaps maybe a change of car is out of your reach, well, we're going to hear about the launch of their new car loan as well. So that's it. Yvonne's mad to see pictures of Christmas. I see you're posting on Facebook. Pictures of Christmas, pictures of snow. I know there are some areas in Fermanagh and Derry, I'm not sure about Donegal, where there's quite a bit of snow lying on the ground. So if you have any pictures of those, share them with us. People love to see that. Well, I do at least. And we'll definitely share them around on our social media. Right, it is 19 minutes to 11. You're tuned to the Weekend Edition here in Highland Radio with me, Greg Hughes. After the commercial break, we're going to be giving you some advice on the do's and don'ts for your Christmas party, if it's still ahead of you. Stay tuned. Okay, you're welcome back. We are in the workplace Christmas party season, aren't we? For some, it may be too late. You've already had yours, but maybe yours is still to come. And we have some advice for you, some do's and don'ts. And I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the programme by writer Sinead Ryan, a writer with the Herald and Indo. Sinead, and you have some good advice for us, don't you, to involve any embarrassment or inappropriate behaviour at your Christmas staff party?
Well, absolutely, Greg. I mean, lots of people look forward to the office party, of course. It's a kind of an acknowledgement from their company that they've done a good job, and it's a celebration. But others dread it. They just hate the idea of getting together socially with work colleagues. So if that's the kind of person you are, well, there's lots of things you can do to mitigate against disaster. But not going shouldn't be one of them. I mean, everybody should turn up. It is a way to say thank you to employees, and it can be great to get to know people that maybe you wouldn't ordinarily mix with in your department or in your company. So the first thing to do, of course, is a little bit of advanced research so you don't rock up and kind of start it off on the wrong foot. So first of all, to find out, you know, are partners invited? So are you going to drag along a poor old boyfriend or girlfriend and nobody else has? And the second thing to ask is, are you expected to make a financial contribution? Perhaps the company is going to cover everything, the free bar, the meal, the entertainment, or maybe you'll be slapped with a bill afterwards, which you don't want. So you need to find all that out in advance. And of course, the first thing you need to do before you go is to decide how you are getting home. There's nothing worse than rolling about, a little the worse for wear at 3 a.m. trying to find a taxi. So decide in advance if that's how you're getting home, and make sure you book it so that at least you have that looked after, and then you can relax and enjoy yourself when you're actually there.
Now, the people you're going with, you know, you work with them throughout the year, and the thing you have in common is your work, and you don't want conversation to be dominated by work, do you? Because it's a time to sort of try and interact with people on a different level, maybe.
Well, that's right. I mean, that's what the other 364 days are for. You're at the party now, and you really should be discussing other things and having a bit of fun, rather than going over, you know, the review of the last quarter finances with somebody from accounts. You really don't want to do that. And if you are the kind of person who wants to get into those in-depth conversations, well, maybe you're going to have to decide some topics for yourself that are safe to talk about, things about music and theatre and art and fun, and maybe a bit of office gossip is all okay. okay on that night, but I'd step well away from discussing office politics or who doesn't like who or your last staff review, especially if there are superiors at it, your bosses are going to be there. This really isn't the time to, you know, to approach them and start discussing your career path. There are other times.
That's a big no-no then, because it's quite possible that maybe you were having a couple of drinks and your authority figure may be being a little bit more sensible.
Yes, and you can kind of get in a more relaxed atmosphere. You're under low lighting. There may be a free bar. You know, everybody's in good form. And that really, you might misjudge the time to go up and ask for a pay rise. The office party definitely isn't it. But nor is it the time to go up and complain about things that happen during the year. Okay, so stay away from all that. And just, you know, concentrate on having a bit of fun and being relaxed. And perhaps not drinking quite so much. I always give the advice to avoid what we call the third venue. So that's where you've gone for pre-drinks, you're at the party, and some clever clog says, why don't we all go off to X? It'll be great fun. And a small group drift off, and it's rarely a good idea because you'll end up with people that maybe you wouldn't be normally socialising with, and everybody's a bit tired and emotional.
Some really important advice as it relates to social media and the possible consequences of that, which we might not always consider.
Yes, and like we love social media. We love posting our food on Instagram and kind of nights out with friends on Facebook. But there is a danger, and it is a very, very serious one. And that is that social media can be used to bring a complaint against you after the fact. So if it's the case that you've uploaded daft photographs of yourself falling over or doing something incredibly stupid, that's there in cyberspace forever. Now, it mightn't matter to you at this company for this job, but for future job, it may definitely come back and bite you. Likewise, if you do something completely idiotic and it's posted on an online forum, you know, that can be used as grounds against a complaint, official or otherwise, and this is a work function. So in the eyes of the law, you are at a work function, not a social function, and therefore the usual cases of disciplining over harassment, over bullying, over anything of those can and may be used against you.
I think it's also actually, that's quite an important area for companies, is it not? Because it's advisable to set a finish time for these type of events so as that you aren't responsible for the behaviour of staff, you know, right throughout the course of the evening.
Well, it is an important issue, and indeed companies are responsible for their staff throughout the office party because it does come under that heading of work function. So issues that can arise, I mean, can include things like people fighting with each other, sexual harassment, bullying, all that sort of stuff. And if it's not acceptable, you know, in the department on the third floor, it is not acceptable in the hotel ballroom where you have your Christmas party.
Yeah, don't do in the pub what you wouldn't do in the office.
Exactly, and companies do. Well, you can relax a bit and have a crack. You wouldn't be drinking in the office, and you can drink
and
have a good time and sing and dance and all that kind of thing. But once you get into the area of straying into people's personal space or making unwelcome advances, and remember, you know, with a little bit of alcohol and low lighting, everybody can look attractive. You know, best to stay away from that. And companies do have a duty of care here, so they will be mindful of that. And the sensible ones will knock it on the head after a certain spend at the bar or a certain time in the evening and say, right, from here on in, you're on your own, we're out of here, and all big as X leave.
And us workers need to remember to try and make sure we can remember the next day, because there would be nothing worse than having to second guess what happened the night before if you overindulged.
Well, that's true. You don't want to be the water cooler moment on Monday, Greg, that's for certain. So if that's going to happen, the thing is to exit early. I like the idea of maybe having a wingman. I mean, everybody has a kind of a pal in the office, somebody that they have lunch with or hang around with. That's the person who should be looking out for you and you for them. So if you start doing something that looks highly inappropriate, they should be over at your side and distracting you and pulling you away.
And you touched on this. Try to resist a rush of misplaced romantic feelings because it happens, doesn't it?
Well, it can happen, especially, well, if it's one way, it can be a little bit dangerous. I mean, if you suddenly get into a theme from Love Actually and find the love of your life at the Christmas party, well, fair enough. But for most of us, of course, that's not the case. And these things can be one-sided. And that person that you kind of secretly fancied all year won't maybe appreciate your advances. Certainly not if you thought that your get-out home clause was maybe spending the night in theirs. So best maybe to have somebody make a discreet inquiry on your behalf, or wait until maybe you invite them out to lunch when you're both sober.
And finally, perhaps the most positive piece of advice you have. Number 10, have fun.
Absolutely. I mean, look, let's not overthink it. Let's not overdrink it. Let your hair down, you know, have a good time. Realise that this is a thank you for all your hard work and for the hard work that's yet to come over the next year. So you can party, have fun, enjoy it, have some funny stories to tell the following week, not some disasters. And just mind yourself.
Okay, Sinead Ryan, we can read you in the Herald and the Indo, but for now, thanks very much for joining us on Highland Radio.
You're very welcome back to the programme. Suzanne Vickers is a PR spokesperson with SheMazing, and she joins me on the programme now. Good morning to you, Susan.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Very, very well. And you?
Good, thank you.
You're all set for Christmas, are you?
Getting there, slowly.
Looking lovely, I'm sure.
Oh, well, you know, we had our Christmas party last night, but I didn't go to the lengths that these young women went to for theirs.
Yeah, and that's really why we're talking, because there's an awful lot of pressure on young women, particularly generally in society, but especially, I suppose, at this time of the year, isn't there?
Absolutely. But I think as well, women are kind of becoming, you know, more, you know, people are putting more pressure on us as well. And I'm not just saying from all sides of things, but there's a lot more factors that we're taking into account these days, from, like, you know, social media. You know, nearly 95% of women said that social media are having a massive factor on that.
Yeah, because there's that instant aspect to it, isn't it? And the likes of Snapchat and Snapchat and what have you, and that expectation to look amazing.
Yeah, and, like, you know, as you said, Snapchat, Instagram are flooded with images of these perfect-looking celebrities. And, you know, they need to remember that these celebrities have, you know, huge amounts of money and often employ teams of beauty, you know, beauty, fitness, nutrition experts to keep them looking this way. And also there's the likes of Photoshop that many of us don't have.
Indeed. SheMazing has done a study on this, and there's some really quite important information in it. The headline grabber, 8 out of 10 young women would consider having a cosmetic beauty procedure. Give us an example of what kind of procedures they could have.
Yeah, so we have, obviously, non-surgical procedures, which are the likes of, you know, laser hair removal, you know, wrinkle smooth injections, chemical skin peels. But then we also have the surgical procedures, where the likes of, you know, breast lifts, tummy tucks, liposuction, thigh lifts. There's so many different things. But what really struck out to me was, of the women that have had cosmetic beauty or surgery done, you know, 18% of these were under the age of 20.
Yeah, and there is a lot of people, the majority of people, don't see any problem with that. I presume if they had the resources or had the option to do it, they would do it. That's what your survey has found.
Yeah, and that's the scary thing, that because of the women that haven't undergone these cosmetic beauty procedures, the main factor was cost, which is not, you know, oh, I'm kind of happy with myself, I'd never go under the knife or go and get a, you know, a quick injection. But it's the fact that people are not worried about the price of it.
It's a fear of getting old, really, a lot of it, isn't it?
Yeah, over half of our readers are, you know, worried about the aging process, and that's why they're taking these steps, you know. And a lot of them did say that they, you know, they eat healthy, they, you know, exercise and take vitamins. But then there's the other side of people that are, you know, wanting to go underneath the knife or different ways to get around this.
And looking beautiful comes at a cost, and people aren't afraid to put their hands in their pockets, are they?
No. You know, like, people are spending, on average, a lot of them are spending up to €1,000. And with, you know, lunchtime procedures, people can pop in 10 minutes and get a quick injection in the lips there and done.
Yeah. And there's no, I mean, most people, or at least half of people, don't worry about the consequences of surgery, because the medical profession will tell you avoid unnecessary procedures, but that message is not getting through.
Yeah, but, you know, like, there's that side of things, and there is the, you know, the pressure of things. But then I know some people could argue and say, well, look, I'm really unhappy with the way I look, or there's a feature on me that I'm really unhappy and it really gets me down. So why wouldn't I do it and feel better about myself? And that's one thing that, you know, of the people that have undergone surgery or a procedure, you know, 79% are more confident.
Okay, tell us a little bit about SheMazing, just to wrap things up, Susan.
Yeah, SheMazing.net for your online beauty, fashion, entertainment resources.
And it won't cost you an arm and a leg.
Absolutely not.
Okay, Susan, thank you so much.
Okay, thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye.